is the popular face app. You know, the one that you can make yourself look really old. Is that actually a Russian conspiracy launching us towards the mark of the beast, the days of Noah? Also, Mystery Babylon, could that really be a revived version of the old ancient Babylon? Well, something just happened that might actually elevate it to that status. We're going to talk about all of this and more on today's Peck Report. Hey everybody, hope you are doing well. So I'm a couple of days ahead in recording these Peck reports. So if you follow me on Facebook, I'm going to be talking about something today that actually happened a couple of days ago. So a couple of nights ago, my wife Christina, she left me with Lily because she had to go take a shower and everything, and Lily fell asleep and the other kids were asleep, so I was just kind of bored, and I was scrolling through my Facebook feed and I saw one of my Facebook friends, but like a lot older. At first I was like, what happened? Because I was actually unaware of that this was even a thing. But I read the description, and he was saying that he was using this app called Face App, and it can make you look older, but like really, really realistically. And I was surprised that it was actually as good as it was. Usually those, at least in my experience, although I don't really mess around with a whole lot of this stuff, because I usually don't have time, but the last time I remember anything like that was a couple of years ago or a few years ago, and I downloaded it and tried messing around with it. It just made me look like a cartoon, but I was really surprised how realistic that this technology has gotten in just such a short amount of time. So I couldn't believe it. So I had to try it for myself, and I downloaded it, so for like half an hour, I was just messing around with this app and stuff and using different photos I had on my phone and photos of me. So I can show you some of those. But it was really funny. And some of your guys' comments, was hilarious. So let me show you some of these. So first, this is the one that I started off with. This was the first one. This is just one that I had on my phone, and I thought, hey, that's a pretty good picture of me. I wonder what it looks like. And the way that it's set up, the filter is just, all it is old. It just says old. You don't get to choose how old or anything like that. It just says old. So I clicked the filter, and it gave me this. Now, surprisingly, that's really realistic. You could use that as a profile pic of a 50, 60-year-old guy, and people would believe that that's real. That really surprised me that it was that well. So, of course, I posted it and got some comments about how I look like Colonel Sanders, which is hilarious, and people asking me if I'm going to open up a KFC. Unfortunately, they have too many things that I can't eat at KFC. Let me just make sure here that the screen share is actually on. Yep, okay. I'm using my Stream Deck that if you caught the blooper from yesterday, then you're familiar with it. But unfortunately, I can't eat like anything at KFC because I can't do bread or breading or anything like that. But anyway, so I was really surprised. But I saw other photos of people who were able to make themselves look even older, and I found out what you have to do. You have to save the old picture on your phone, then bring it into FaceApp and run the old filter again. So I did that to see what would happen. Oh, it was also kind of funny too, because with this picture here, people were saying that I looked like Tom Horn or Dr. Michael Heiser, or like a combination of Tom Horn and Dr. Michael Heiser. If Tom Horn uses his CRISPR-Cas9 kit and takes DNA from both of those and creates an older man, then you know it'd probably be this guy. But anyway, so I was quite complimented. You know, those are not bad people to look like. Colonel Sanders, Mike Heiser, Tom Horn. I was flattered. But then I ran the old filter again. So I took this picture, ran the old filter again, and got this. So that's still pretty realistic. I mean, you can start to see some kind of pixelation, smudging, like kind of thing on the edges a little bit here. And, you know, you can tell like over here the suit's getting a little bit worn and tattered. But overall, extremely, extremely well done. That you, again, it looks like an 80-year-old man. It looks very, very realistic. So I posted that, and there was a lot of the same, sort of comments, KFC, a guy. And so I was like, yes, Colonel Sanders, he lives. Turns out he faked his death. He's actually alive. I probably shouldn't joke about that. So I thought, okay, what happens if you just keep bringing the photo in and keep hitting the old filter, saving, bringing it in, keep it? So I decided to try that. A bunch of times. I think I did it like seven. I did it so often that when I would do it again, there was like no difference. It had like maxed out the old, and this is what it did. Now it's starting to look like a painting or a cartoon. But if you ever wondered what a 400-year-old man who has existed in the 21st century, therefore eating nothing but GMOs and being exposed to chemtrails and everything, this is it. So it got to the point, and you can see the suit is like really messed up and everything. Apparently all these 400 years I've been wearing the same suit. But it got to the point that once I started bringing this photo in and hitting the old thing, it just wasn't doing anything anymore. It had maxed out the old filter. So I thought that was funny, and I thought, well, I got some other pictures on my phone. So I posted that. Everybody was horrified, but don't worry. This is not nearly as horrifying as the final picture that I tried, and I'm going to show you that in a minute. But first, let me show you my good friend Steve Bancars. Now, this is a funny picture already because he's Canadian, but he's a conservative. He doesn't care much for Trudeau. He has a lot of good like American values, but he is Canadian. Those of you who aren't familiar with this individual, this is Stephen Bancars. He's my co-author for the book Second Coming of the New Age, which has done very well. His people are very interested in it. He's an excellent writer. He came out of New Age. He's got a very powerful testimony. And so this is him wearing my Trump hat. He comes over to visit sometimes to record programs, do conferences, stuff like that. So when he's in town, he just stays in our guest bedroom. And this happened right before we found out that Nathan had leukemia. So this was a few days before that. And I was like, I said, Steve, it would be really funny if I get a picture of you wearing my Trump hat, because wearing my MAGA hat, since you're Canadian and all. So we took that picture. Anyway, this is uncanny. Look how realistic the old app right there. That is Steve with just one go of the old app, of the old filter, just one. That is old Steve. That is 100% what Steve is going to look like in 50 years, 40 or 50 years. It's insane how realistic that is. So that blew me away. I posted that. People were laughing, saying that he looks like a cross between a George W. Bush and Arnold Schwarzenegger, which is kind of funny. If you look at the two pictures side by side, somebody posted that in my comment section on Facebook, and it is really funny. He does look a lot like that. So then I committed the most unholy of sins because I was curious to see what would happen. This is my daughter, Lily. Now, unfortunately, I don't have the original. I have the original picture from this on my phone. The original picture, it wasn't black and white. It was, full color, and it wasn't so much zoomed in. But this is our newborn Lily. This was just like a month ago, so she was probably 2 or 3 months old when I took this picture. Just absolutely gorgeous and perfect in every way. Now, again, this is the black and white one from Instagram. The original is the one that I did the face app old to. So what you're going to see is going to be full color. It's going to be zoomed out a little bit, but this is Lily, my precious angel, with the old filter. Oh, it's terrible. It's awful. And it's horrifying too, because it's still clearly a baby. It's like Benjamin Button's sister or something. It's horrifying. Okay, so you probably don't want to look at that anymore. That's probably about enough to give you nightmares for the next week. So anyway, I tell you all that because it leads up to the story that we are going to be talking about in a minute. So I did all that. We were having fun. It was about 30 minutes of just good fun. And So, but then the next, so the next day, people had done some research into what is going on with this face app, you know, for one thing, because it is kind of scary that it's so realistic, you know, unless you put a newborn baby in the filter, but it's weird that it's so realistic. You know, we live in a culture of things like deep fakes and stuff like that. So it makes us wonder how soon before this stuff is able to be done in video. I mean, it already is now. It already is now, but it's not widespread. It's not really open to the public. It's not a it's not an app you can just download like with photos. But give it a couple more years, and you're going to get deep fake videos, and it'll be you'll be able to run a video through it and put an old filter on, or a celebrity or something like that. So they already have deep fakes and videos, but it's not it's not really public as of yet. You know, it's not for just consumers like me and you. So that got me thinking about it, but people had the same question too. So they were the next day I woke up and somebody had sent me an article that's a little horrifying. That's what we're going to be talking about today. The article is it's from the Tennessean.com, and it's I think USA Today and places like that have also reported on this, but the title is Face App Concerns Raised That Viral App Making You Old Is a Russian Company Taking Your Selfies. And you know, when it comes to like identity theft and you know, especially tracking identity and stuff like that, this is like Mark of the Beast territory. Now, I'm not saying Face App is the Mark of the Beast, obviously, it's ridiculous. But this type of technology can lead to that. It can lead to a day, you know, maybe 10 years, maybe 100 years, but a day where you're required to have some type of mark, some type of identification to be tracked, that the government can track you, to where you can't even buy or sell. You cannot participate in the economy unless you have this identification, mark in the hand or the forehead, whatever that means. Now, there is a second part to the mark of the beast that we must keep in mind, is that you have to worship the beast. And that tells us that the mark of the beast can't be forced on anybody. You must do it willingly. Now, they could hold you at gunpoint, of course. They could hold you at gunpoint and tell you that if you don't accept the mark of the beast, you're going to be shot right on the spot. But you still would have the choice to take the bullet. So they can't, for the mark of the beast to be effective, it's got to be taken willingly. You have to willingly submit yourself to the image of the beast. And that's why, like, nobody's going to be tricked into the mark of the beast, and nobody's going to be forced into it. Whoever takes the mark knows exactly what they're getting into, or they're deceived and they think that. But they have to worship the beast. That's the main thing to keep in mind. So this type of technology could lead to that type of technology. So it says the Face app is back, and this time it's getting more scrutiny. The viral app allows users to age themselves in photos, and it's taken over the internet in recent days, with celebrities and regular people like me, regular person, all posting pictures of themselves looking older. And you know, this would be genius if this is a way to track us or something. It's kind of a genius way to do it, because it's like, let's amaze people with how good this technology is and how readily available it is. It took maybe 20 seconds to download it on my phone. Let's amaze them with that. They'll be using it, and then we can have access to their selfie. The only thing that I wonder, though, is why not just send a bot to run through everybody's Facebook profile and get all their selfies that way? But let's see what the story says. So some careful observers are warning users about the terms of use detailed in the Face App privacy policy, which appear to allow the app to keep images you post in their system and potentially more. It says, and given the political climate, the home country of the app's developer, which, you know, Russia, it's from a group in St. Petersburg, Russia, have taken on increased significance for some. So it says, according to USA Today, the app's privacy policy says it collects the pictures you upload from its service, so keep in mind that it's keeping the selfies you take. Also, be warned that one developer, Joshua Nozzi, it's N-O-Z-Z-I. I don't want to mispronounce his name and put some kind, but yeah, that's sort of what it looks like. Said on Twitter that it appears we're going to say Nozzi. Nozzi or Nazi, however that's pronounced, N-O-Z-Z-I, Either way, it's that, what, man, what an unfortunate last name. And my last name is Peck. Anyway, he's we'll call him Joshua, though that gets confusing because my name is Josh too. Joshua N. said on Twitter that it appears the app may try to upload other pictures from your library. If you're concerned about this, don't give it access to your photos when it asks, just access to the camera. Now, see, I didn't look into this, and I gave it access to my pictures because those are the ones that I wanted to edit. I didn't want to take brand new pictures. I apologize that every once in a while I'm looking at my phone. It's just because Christina is with Nathan at the hospital. He's fine. He's getting treatment, and I just want to keep up to date and make sure everything's good. But anyway, don't want to derail the story here. So I did give it access to my gallery, as many people do. I didn't really give it a second thought until this was this was brought to my attention. So it said the address on their app is located in St. Petersburg, Russia. Now, TechCrunch interviewed the developers in 2017, the first time the app was making the rounds, who explained some of the technology behind the app. Quote, "We developed a new technology that uses neural networks to modify a face on any photo while keeping it photorealistic. For example, it can add a smile, change gender and age, or just make you more attractive," explains founder and CEO Yaroslav Goncharov, a former head of department at Yandex, who is funding the project out of his own pocket, end quote. So there's a Elizabeth Potts Weinstein posted this on Twitter. "If you use FaceApp, you're giving them a license to use your photos, your name, your username, and your likeness for any purpose, including commercial purposes, like on a billboard or an internet ad. See their terms." And then she gave a link and then a pretty big section of their privacy policy. So I'll just say you can look it up yourself. I don't want to read through the whole thing because that would take a really long time. And then Scott Budman says, "Warning, every few years the Face app comes around. It's fun. It draws a lot of people in, but it also captures your face along with some of your private data. It doesn't tell us what it does with that data. Be careful." Other people are saying things about it, too. It's been making the rounds. So at Vovo Wabantu, I've never heard of any of these people, but apparently they're prominent enough to where their opinions matter to the Tennessean. But it says, "If you use FaceApp, you are giving them license to use your photos, your name, username, and likeness for any purpose." Now, others have pointed out that the terms and conditions don't differ much from other widely used apps. So Elliot Alderson posted a section of the privacy policy of Snapchat and said, "This is the Snapchat terms and conditions. Now I will stay here and wait your shocked heads." This is a little shorter, so I guess we could probably go through this one. But it says because public content is inherently public and chronicles matters of public interest, the license you grant us for this content is broader. In addition to granting the rights mentioned in the previous paragraph, you also grant us perpetual license to create derivative works from, promote, exhibit, broadcast, syndicate, sublicense, publicly perform, and publicly display public content in any form and in any and all media distribution methods not known or later developed. To the extent it's necessary, when you appear in, create, upload, post, or send public content, you also grant Snap Incorporated, our affiliates, and our business partners the unrestricted worldwide perpetual right and license to use your name, likeness, and voice, including in connection with commercial or sponsored content. This means, among other things, that you will not be entitled to any compensation from Snap Inc., our affiliates, or our business partners if your name, likeness, or voice is conveyed through the service, either on the Snapchat application or on one of our business partners' platforms. So that is insane because, you know, Snapchat's whole thing, if I have my apps right, I believe this is the case. Snapchat's whole thing is that you take a short video, send it to somebody, and it deletes itself, or at least it's supposed to. Isn't that Snapchat? I might have my apps mixed up, but I believe that's the one. So that's pretty insane that it could just keep that stuff. So, you know, people are asking if you should use Snapchat, and Tennessean provides their answer. They say the internet can be a dark and mysterious place, so choose wisely. If you do, here's some advice that Todd Hasselton at CNBC posted in a USA Today piece. One, open the app and decline the subscription offer. I didn't do the subscription offer. Two, be sure to delete it and don't give it access to your phone roll. If you do use it for this, I guess that's it. Just those two. And then other people have posted a lot of different pictures, of their own about it. Again, celebrities are using this. A lot of people are. So as I was saying before, yes, of course, it's all in good fun. There's nothing inherently evil, you know, about just having fun with this app. But we do have to be cautious. We do have to be careful because, I mean, like we just looked at, we don't know what they're doing with our data. And according to their terms and conditions, they can pretty much do whatever they want. Now, again, it is weird that it's in Russia. It's weird that they're not specific as to what types of, you know, why would they put that in their terms and conditions? What types of things would they be doing? Could there be a day where they, if they have access to all your information, could there be a day that they use that against people? You know, of course, if they have it and they want, if they have it in a way that's going to advantage them, then of course they're going to use it, against people to coerce them into doing whatever, or blackmail them into doing whatever they want them to do. I mean, what if it gave access to emails? And because nobody reads the extremely long terms and conditions, there could be something in there that says, I keep hitting my microphone. I'm sorry about that. I just adjusted it today and I'm not used to it. But there could be something in there that says that they have, they have access to even your emails, and they can use them as they wish. So it's insane. But this type of thing, it's all about tracking and identification, tracking people, identifying people. If they have your face, you could be walking past a camera anywhere, and there's cameras all over the place now. You could be walking past a camera anywhere, and it can recognize your face, even if you're trying to stay off the grid. If you're in an area that has a camera. Or even just moderately off the grid. Like, obviously, I'm not off the grid, but we do live in a very small town. It's a really tight community. I love it. Everybody here is like family. It's the furthest thing from like a big city that you could get. It's really private and nice and it's good. But even here, I could walk past a security camera in the Walmart the next town over, and that could be used to track and identify me and see what I'm doing. They could track and identify me using my phone. They could listen to what I'm saying right now. These things do listen. If you don't believe me, here's a very simple experiment. Turn your phone off. Turn it completely off. Make sure it's charged. But turn it completely off, set it down, and then start talking about a random product. I actually might do this for a video, but Christina and I have tried this several times. A random product that you've never had any interest in before, never talked about before, never hear about, and be specific too. The more specific you are, the more accurately you can test this. Just start talking about it. Start repeating it. Now, I don't know if the technology they use might be so sophisticated now that it can pick up if you're just repeating a word. So actually talk about it. Say real sentences about it. Just over and over again for a while. Then turn your phone back on and wait and see if you start getting advertisements for that product. You know, there was one time, and now my phone was on, but I wasn't on like Facebook or anything. It was how it is now. It was just on. I usually keep it on in case an emergency or something. So it was just on as it is now. And Christina and I were talking about upgrading our vehicle because, you know, our family's growing and it's really hard to get everybody from place to place with the vehicle that we own. So we were going through, you know, different makes and models and stuff like that. But we were talking like broadly and generally, like, you know, do we want to go for a Ford? Do we want to go for, you know, whatever. But we were just talking about it. We weren't even looking up things online or anything. We were just talking. And then there was one specific make, model, and year that Christina brought up. And she said, you know, I got a couple friends that have this, and it seems like really spacious, and they've had it for a long time. It seems, you know, reliable and everything like that. And I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe. And then I repeated the make, model, and year. Maybe that's the one we should go for. That is the only one that we actually were specific about, and that in our conversation we were more, you know, we were more on the fence of, yeah, maybe that's the one we'll look at. The other ones we were like, I don't know, you know, this has that, I don't know. That was the one where we were like, yeah, maybe. Whereas, like, imagine if a salesperson was listening to that would be the one that they focus in on. Well, the next time we turned on our phones, and it didn't take long, we started getting ads for that very thing. Your phones listen to you. They're listening to this conversation now. It's impossible to get away from. Even if I mean, the only way to get away from it is to get completely off the internet, completely off the grid, and just grow your own food. And that's great if you want to do that. A lot of people choose to live that way, and I think that's awesome. Now, if you have a profession like mine, which requires the internet, and more jobs are getting like that, then it would be really, really hard to live that way if you don't have a lot of land at your disposal. So it's sort of this vicious cycle. You need a more technological, high-paying job to be able to afford enough land that you can get off the grid and live off of, but you can't get the land in the house. You can't get that unless you have this high-paying job. And it's this ongoing cycle. But there are people that have been able to do it, and very successfully. So if you're worried about this kind of thing, you should look into that. This just in, we just got some new information. This, of course, is a developing story. So what you've been watching so far was pre-recorded a couple days prior. But in that time, we have got some more news on this whole story that we need to talk about. It's entirely possible that this whole frenzy, this whole hysteria about you know, Russians using your information, it's entirely possible this actually might be a leftist conspiracy theory. You might be wondering what I'm talking about. Let me show you this. I'm just going to cut to screen share so I can show you what I'm looking at here. But just recently, I posted this to Facebook. If you can see right here, it says this is from CNN.com. DNC warns 2020 campaigns not to use face app developed by Russians. And so I wrote, and just like that, I am immediately skeptical of the concerns around face app. That's not saying that I'm skeptical of face app as a legitimate app, but the hysteria around everybody being freaked out by face app because it's Russians. When CNN has a headline like that, DNC, and the DNC is warning 2020 campaigns not to use it, that got me incredibly suspicious. That raised all sorts of red flags to me, thinking, you know, maybe this hysteria has been blown out of proportion. Is it possible that all this hysteria is really just is there something else going on here? Not only that, does this appeal to people because it gives other people a reason for them to say, to kind of be put on a pedestal above everybody else by sharing on Facebook and saying, hey, you guys shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be having all this fun. You know, there's something that's appealing to that, to certain personality types, certain people who think of themselves as leaders of other people. When they see something go viral, it's very, very tempting to basically ruin everybody's fun. But I wanted to be sure before I reported on it. So I did some more research. Again, it's been a couple of days since what you just saw before. It's been a couple of days since I recorded that. So I wanted to do some research, and I found some stuff that's interesting. You know, it's not just Face App. It's basically every app. It's every app, every social media platform, everything online that you use has similar things with this. And I was able to find something on Wired.com. that the headline says, think Face App is scary, wait till you hear about Facebook. And this just kind of wraps up everything that I looked into as well, all the research that I did. So I was happy that after I looked into it myself, that there was already another article out there that did the same thing and kind of put it all together. It says, Face App is a viral lark that takes a convincing guess at what you'll look like when you're old. Face App is also the product of a Russian company that sends photos from your device to its servers, retains rights to use them in perpetuity, and performs artificial intelligence black magic on them. And so the Face App backlash has kicked into gear with anxious stories and tweets warning you off of its charms. Which, fine, just make sure you save some time of that, or make sure you save some of that ire for bigger targets. And this has happened. I mean, the stories about how bad Face App is has gone more viral than Face App itself, to the point that if you use Face App and put a picture, you are sure going to get somebody on there telling you, don't use it. Now, look, I'm not making fun of anybody that did that to me. Because the few that sent me articles, I think that they were just legitimately trying to help and keep me informed as well, because I have a large platform and I do these news videos. So no one came to me personally with any type of like moral high ground, and they were just gonna show me how I've been doing wrong. Nobody came to me with that attitude, but I have seen that on Facebook. I have seen people take that attitude. I have seen people share posts even that convey that attitude of basically, look, you idiots, you're giving your information to the Russians. Don't you know what you're doing, you morons? You know, just that kind of attitude, maybe in not so many words, but you know what I'm talking about. Nobody's done that to me personally, but I have seen it a lot. The hysteria around it has become more viral than the app itself. So it says, the response to Face App is predictable, if only because this cycle has happened before. Face App went viral when it launched in 2017 and prompted a similar, yet far more muted, privacy kerfuffle. But compared to Mitu, that year's other viral face manipulator, Face App was downright saintly in its data collection. At least Face App didn't access your GPS and SIM card information. More energy was directed at bigger platforms like Face App's blackface filter. I guess that was a thing. But it says the latest frenzy appears to have been kicked off by a tweet that claimed Face App uploads all of your photos to the cloud. That certainly would be alarming, but Face App has denied the claim, and multiple security researchers have confirmed that it's not so, that it doesn't do this. Face App takes only the photo you ask it to manipulate. The company also said it deletes most images from its servers within 48 hours of uploading, though admittedly, there's no way to confirm that it does so in practice. If you want Face App to remove all your data from its servers, you can send a request within the app by going to Settings, then Support, then Report a Bug, and putting privacy, the word privacy, in the subject line. Face App founder Yaroslav Goncharov said in a statement, quote, Face App, our support team is currently overloaded, but these requests have our priority. We are working on the better UI for that, end quote. Now, those measures don't make Face App some paragon of data privacy, of course. You know, while the way it manages photos is kosher under Apple rules, Face App doesn't make it clear enough to users that it's sending them to a server. So Will Strafok, the security researcher and developer of Guardian and an iOS firewall app, says, quote, I cannot think of any situation where an app should not be very painfully clear about a photo being uploaded to a remote server. Users always have the right to know this, end quote. But still, it's important to note that while Face App calls St. Petersburg home, its servers are based in the U.S. So this isn't just some far-off thing in Russia. The servers themselves are in the U.S. The company said in a statement that the user data is not transferred to Russia at all. So, like almost everyone else, Face App uses Amazon's cloud, and it has at least a plausible reason for doing so. The processing power required to apply, the old filter on your face is more manageable there than on your device. So more recent iPhones and Android devices have machine learning capabilities that's built into their hardware, but it's safe to assume that plenty of face apps reported 80 million users are still on an older model. They're on older models. But the servers are here in the U.S. They use Amazon's cloud. So what has changed since 2017? On the face app side, really not much has changed, but the world around it looks markedly different. Russia has become synonymous with nefarious online meddling. And I mean, we all know about the Russian collusion, and that's what's making me think that this, especially the way that CNN reported on it, that this hysteria around face app, that the hysteria is a left-wing conspiracy theory. I don't think it's as dangerous or as real as everybody is making it out to be, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But it's you know, Russia's been synonymous with nefarious online meddling to the point that any company, even this silly filter app, becomes this like big boogeyman. Awareness of facial recognition's perils have reached something close to critical mass. So the idea that one's personal data might be worth protecting has gained real immutable traction. Of course, you know, all for the better, at least, or at least on those last two points. You should ask questions about FaceApp. Absolutely. You should be extremely cautious about what data you choose to share with it, especially something as personal as a photo of your face. But the idea that FaceApp is somehow exceptionally dangerous and that threatens to obscure the real point. All apps deserve this level of scrutiny, including and especially the ones you use the most, like Facebook. Every single one. Face app is no more dangerous than Facebook. Is Facebook dangerous? Do they collect data? Do they do all that stuff? Yes. Does Face app? Probably. But Face app is no more dangerous than Twitter, than Google, than Facebook, than all of these other things. It's all the same. Face app does not, what Face app is and what it does, absolutely does not garner or require this level of hysteria around it. Now, Christine Bannon, a consumer protection counsel at the nonprofit Electronic Privacy Information Center, has said, quote, people give photos to lots of different apps. I think it is probably getting attention because it's Russian developers. But this is definitely not a unique Face app problem. Face app is part of a larger privacy problem, end quote. This is a leftist, left-wing conspiracy theory, and we all fell for it. The left-wing media pushed this story because it involves Russian interference. They want Americans to fear Russia because then we will be more we'll be more indoctrinated. We'll be more in tune to suspect President Trump of something having to do with Russia. And if anything else involving Russia comes out, they want us to fear that. That is what this is. Now take the most obvious example, and not for its similar name. Facebook has nearly 2.5 billion monthly active users, and compare that to FaceApp's 80 million. It's nothing. You know, Facebook has 2.5 billion, but it applies facial recognition to photos that those users upload to its servers. It also actively pushed a VPN that allowed it to track the activity of anyone who installed it, not just within the Facebook app, but anywhere on their phone. So when Apple finally banned that app, Facebook snuck it in again through the back door. And that's before you get to the privacy violations that have led to a reported $5 billion fine from the FTC, which is a record by orders of magnitude. Now, people have expressed concern that FaceApp's terms of service include, quote, a perpetual, irrevocable, non-exclusive, royalty-free, worldwide, fully paid, transferable, sub-licensable license to use, reproduce, modify, adapt, publish, translate, create, derivative works from, distribute, publicly perform, and display your user content and any name, username, or likeness provided in connection with your user content in all media formats and channels now known or later developed without compensation to you, end quote. That's a lot, but okay. Now, rightly so. There's obvious cause to be concerned about that, but see how closely it mirrors Facebook's own terms of services, which also says that, quote, when you share, post, or upload content that is covered by intellectual property rights, like photos or videos, on or in connection with our products, you grant us non-exclusive, transferable, sub-licensable, royalty-free, and worldwide license to host, use, distribute, modify, run, copy, publicly perform or display, translate, and create derivative works of your content consistent with your privacy and application settings, end quote. You know, which is as good of a reminder as any to lock down your Facebook privacy settings. Listen to that. Listen to how similar those sound. But we're all on Facebook and we're not raising a mass hysteria over it. And it's obviously not just Facebook. You could look at Life60, which is a family tracking app that turns user data into revenue through advertising and partnership. TikTok is based in China, a country with a damning history of facial recognition abuses. For years, U.S. carriers sold detailed location data of their customers without explicit consent. As noted by Adweek reporter Shoshana Wodinsky, FaceApp itself sends data to DoubleClick, the Google-owned ad company, and to Facebook. So do countless others. Now, should you be worried about FaceApp? Sure, but not necessarily more than any other app you let into your photo library or any other part of your phone or your computer. Joseph Jerome, privacy counsel at the Nonprofit Center for Democracy and Technology, says, quote, I wish people would think before they try out any app, but that just isn't realistic. People want to use cool-looking services, and they'll never read a boring privacy policy before doing so. There's a real tension between individuals wanting to have fun with their photos and their images being used for a host of different facial recognition and image analytics products. This is why we've been calling for regulations around biometric data, end quote. So instead of these panics, which fade in and out, you know, in step with the virility of their targets, maybe a healthier focus is on broader awareness. Your data has value, so think twice about who you give it to, regardless what country they're in or how silly they make you look in some app. So look, of course, think about how genius this is from left-wing media. Right now, they don't want the focus on Facebook. Facebook has been under a lot of scrutiny lately. So has Google, especially with the new election coming up, because there have been a lot of cause for concern that Facebook and Google and Twitter and all these apps, they're going to try and steer the election towards in favor of the Democrats. And Democrats know this. That's valuable to them. So what they're trying to do, because there's been so much focus on that lately, now they're trying to start this story about a harmless app that they know they can't use for their election. You know, they're not going to be able to promote the DNC isn't going to be able to use FaceApp for anything. So they pick that, run the story through all of their media outlets about how Facebook or FaceApp is bad because of, again, Russian interference. I mean, it blows my mind that I didn't see this before and that we all missed it. But they run that, so now your focus is on FaceApp, and it's not on Facebook. It's not on these major media, social media platforms that actually do have great influence over the results of elections. So don't fall for it. I fell for it, too. I fell for it, too. But I thought that it was important to include this segment in my original recording so you guys know what's going on. Like I said, we're always going to keep you up to date as the story develops, even if it means we have to put in a new clip in a recording that's a couple days old. But listen, ultimately, don't fall for this stuff. All right. Don't buy into the mass hysteria. FaceApp is no more dangerous than any of these other apps, and actually a very strong case could be made that these other apps, Facebook, Twitter, all of these other things that we mess around with, Instagram, a case could be made that those are actually far more dangerous than FaceApp ever will be. So don't buy into the hype. Don't buy into the hysteria. Don't fall for left-wing conspiracy theories. All right, so that I wanted to put that in there. Now we will return you to what was originally recorded. So thank you so much. But again, you know, we don't want, at the same time, we want to be able to have fun. We don't want to live in a climate of fear, and that's why I'm apprehensive about telling people to get off of FaceApp. Look, there are very few things in life that can provide even a moment of joy, you know, according to a lot of people. I mean, I'm pretty much happy all the time. I got amazing kids, an amazing family, an amazing thing. But, you know, every once in a while, it's nice to just kind of mess around with something and you know, something like FaceApp and just kind of be dumb for 20 minutes and give your brain a break for a while. You know, sometimes it's kind of nice to take a break from all the conspiracy stuff and just have a little bit of fun. And I think that's fine. I think actually we need that. You know, sometimes we need to kind of recharge our brains. Now, it doesn't have to be FaceApp. It can be, you know, it doesn't even have to have anything to do with technology. It could be picking up an acoustic guitar and just playing a few chords, but it could be anything. But I think if we get too wrapped up in conspiracy kind of stuff and worried about what the Russians are going to do or worried about what the government's going to do or worried about what the Antichrist is going to do in the future, look, all of that stuff, it's already been prophesied. Just the Antichrist is coming, you know. The beast system is coming. Mark of the beast is coming. There's no getting out of it. It is going to be here on the world. There's no preventing it. We might be able to delay it because we're not giving a specific time when this is going to happen. We're not giving a specific date when it'll happen. So we might be able to delay it for a little while. You know, I think God would show favor on this country if we repented and turned back to him. And I think in a lot of ways, you know, a lot of Americans are already doing that, but all of that aside, all these prophecies and things, they're important. We should talk about them. We should try to interpret them and decipher them and have, have opposing and even differing viewpoints so we can debate and talk about it. But you don't want to get so hung up on it and so obsessed with it that every little thing you do, you're worried. You're worried about what's going to happen. You know, you're worried that your TV might be talking to you if you want to watch a sermon on television, or not talking to you, but listening to you if you want to watch a sermon on YouTube or something like that. You can't spend every waking moment in worry and fear. Jesus actually commands against that. I mean, we shouldn't be afraid. We're not given a spirit of fear. We're not supposed to worry because it's not going to add even a day onto our lives. If anything, that's going to take years off your life. So, you know, I think it's fine to talk about, it's fine to share articles, but I personally wouldn't get so hung up on it that it steals your joy. That's the thing. If it's stealing your peace, if it's stealing your joy, then just set it aside. Set it aside, set the conspiracy stuff aside, chill out, and focus on getting your peace and joy back in the Lord, peace and joy in the Lord. You know, I'm not talking about happiness. Peace, joy, and happiness are different. Happiness, you know, drugs and alcohol can make you happy, but that doesn't mean they're good. Peace and joy, that at least the way that I understand it, to me, true peace and true joy can only come from the Lord Jesus Christ. It can only come from a relationship with him. And then you can find peace and joy in other things that don't conflict with his will, that aren't sinful. And then sinful things you're not going to find peace and joy in. So true peace, true joy, focus on that in Jesus Christ. And then, you know, once you got that down and you're not really bothered or you know, that these prophetic or conspiratorial things aren't stealing your joy and peace from you, which the Lord Jesus Christ has given to you as a gift. You know, that's a gift. Once you get your peace and joy back, then you can go back, you know, look into things. But it's all about just looking at it from the appropriate lens. So it's okay to have a little bit of fun. It's okay to have peace and joy in this very messed up world that's actually encouraged. But at the same time, you're supposed to be sober-minded. Just main thing, focus on your relationship with Jesus Christ. You're going to be just fine. Okay. Oh, and that was something else that I said to somebody who had a comment about it. But this was about something else. Somebody left me a comment and asked if they should get a gun because of the second Civil War video that I did. And I said, well, you know, I'm very pro Second Amendment. I think everybody should have the means to defend themselves. Absolutely. But as far as if you should get a gun, if you're doing it out of fear, I don't think that's the right approach. I don't think that's a good reason to do something like that. If you're on the fence and you don't know if you want to get one, you know, go to a firing range, go to a shooting range and try out a couple different kinds and see how you feel about it. But ultimately, take it up with God, because no matter what, it shouldn't be a fearful thing. You know, it should be a responsible thing. Doing it to defend yourself, but not out of like this fear that, you know, the world is out to get you. Is the world out to get you? Sure. You know, but that's not a reason to be afraid necessarily, because no matter what happens to us, even if we die, even when we die, no matter what happens to us, if you're in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're saved, Jesus has you, and nothing, this world cannot take you from him and cannot take him from you. The only thing that can do that is you through your own free will, if you allow that to happen, if you allow the world to beat you down so much that you start getting into an area where you're not as focused on Jesus, but you're more focused on what the world has to offer or what the world is doing to abuse you, and not the ultimate peace and joy that Jesus Christ provides, because he'll never abuse you. So that's what you should focus on. And, you know, as far as if you should buy a gun, that would be between the person and the Lord. But again, I'm very pro Second Amendment, and I'm very pro people having the ability to defend themselves. Okay, so we got to talk about the ancient city of Babylon, Mystery Babylon. Could Mystery Babylon, could that be the actual revived ancient city of Babylon? There might actually be some credence to that story. Some stuff just happened that might elevate it to that status, and we got to talk about that. But first, if you're a chronic pain sufferer and you don't want to be another statistic in the narcotic and opioid epidemic that's plaguing this country right now, you don't want to be another victim of the so-called war on drugs. And yes, I know that you can be a victim of the war on drugs. I know that sounds a little silly. The war on drugs was established to try to combat drugs. How could you be a victim of that? Because the war on drugs has done nothing but perpetrate drug use even more and more and more. There's statistics on this. You can look them up. But the war on drugs has done nothing. It has been terrible for this country, and it needs to stop. If you don't want to be another statistic in that, if you don't want to be hooked on opioids, but you have chronic pain and you want another option to at least explore, check out Coastline Kratom. I take Kratom every day. Every single day, and it helps me function because I'm a chronic pain sufferer. It helps me function. I don't have to be crippled by my bone disease or anything like that. It helps out a lot, and it keeps you clear-headed. This whole Peck report, I've been just talking clearly nonstop. We've had a couple of segues, but that's just how my brain works. I'll tell you, I used to have to take narcotics for my chronic pain, and when I was on those, there's no way I'd be able to do a show like this. There's no way I would have been able to focus on anything, and it's not because my mind would have been running a mile a minute. It's because my mind would have been so slowed down that I wouldn't have had the motivation to even want to do a show like this. So it really helps bring you back to who you're meant to be, like who God created you to be. It restores. It doesn't elevate. It doesn't make you more focused, but it restores what was taken from you if you're a chronic pain sufferer. So that's my personal experience with it. Everybody's different, so you can do your own research. I do have a couple of videos on Kratom for Daily Renegade members. If you're a member at dailyrenegade.com, you can check that out. But I suggest, if you are going to take some, or if you already do take some, or if you're already have your mindset that you want to try it out, Coastline Kratom is a great place to go. I suggest getting their Ultra Enhanced pack because then you get a variety of strains, and it's Ultra Enhanced. So if you happen to have a higher tolerance like I do, it's Ultra Enhanced, and you still won't have to take as much if you get a normal strain. But if you have a very low tolerance, then you really don't need much of this stuff, and it'll last you a long time. Look, now is the time to stock up on Kratom, because the DEA and FDA, for a lot of reasons I can't mention without YouTube deleting this video, but that information is available at dailyrenegade.com if you're a member. They have a long-standing interest in banning this stuff, and it very easily could happen any day now. So now is the time to stock up. At Coastline Kratom, you do have to set up a Zelle Pay account, but they make it really easy. You can do it right on their website. It only takes a second. The reason you have to do that is because a lot of credit card companies and PayPal and places, they don't want to deal with Kratom because of the just the garbage and false reporting around it today. So you have to set up a Zelle Pay account, but again, it's really easy and it's worth it because then you can buy as much as you want. Head on over to Coastline Kratom by clicking on the link in the description below if you're viewing this on Facebook or YouTube or anywhere else. We're going on a lot of alternate platforms, or just go to dailyrenegade.com. And listen, if you don't see the Kratom ad, or you don't see the other ad. Right now we have it set where an ad alternates. Try refreshing the screen a couple of times and see if it comes up. We are working on getting both ads up, but if you don't see one or the other, just click on the link in this description. You can find the link on any of our videos, or just try refreshing the screen, and we're going to get both those ads up. But right now our web developers working through a plugin glitch, so that's a problem there. So easiest thing to do, just click on the link in the description below. Okay, while you're there, check out CBD Pure and CBD Pets. This is absolutely the best, the most pure, the cleanest CBD oil you're going to be able to find on the market today. They prove it by being totally transparent. They test every batch they make through a third-party testing facility, so you know there's no bias, there's no funny business going on, and they post those results on their website. So you can do all the research for yourself. They make it super easy. This is non-GMO. This is pesticide-free. It's organic. It's all the stuff you want. I take this stuff every day as well. I take half of a dropper full an hour before bed, and I get the best sleep I've had in years. I mean, I sleep really good, and I thought that was impossible. I feel refreshed in the morning. I don't need as much coffee in the morning. I actually don't even need as much kratom throughout the day the next day. I've noticed that this has relieved even some of my pain. So it's all around been a big win, and a lot of people have said the same thing for them. If you want to check it out, they also make this for your pets too. So if you have a dog or a cat that suffers from anxiety or that rips up your furniture or something like that, this might help. I've heard a lot of people say that it has helped their pets. So if you want to check this out, click on the link in the description below. I highly recommend it. It's very good. Do your own research, and you can check it out. We just did a video yesterday, in fact, and it's only for members because, again, YouTube deletes this stuff. It's only for members, but showing that there's been a recent scientific study showing that half of people who use CBD have been able to stop taking pharmaceuticals completely. Which is an amazing statistic. So if you want more information, you can check that out. I believe that was yesterday. Might have been the day before. But I believe it was yesterday. But you can check that out. You can do your own research. Again, CBD Pure and CBD Pets is absolutely the best on the market, and they prove it by being totally transparent with their information. You can click on the link in the description below to check them out, or go to dailyrenegade.com. Again, if you don't see the ad but you see the Kratom ad, or if you see the Kratom ad but not the CBD ad, try refreshing the screen. See if it comes up, because right now it alternates ads. Do that, or just the easiest thing, click on the link in the description below, and we will get that fixed for you very quickly. Okay, everybody, we do have to talk about Babylon, but we're going to save that for members only, because this gets into some geopolitical issues, not too heavily, but it does a little bit, and YouTube is going to delete that stuff, or at least they might, so I don't want to take a chance. That's why we created Daily Renegade, a censorship haven for all of you to be able to get the content that you love. And hey, we just started Ryan Peterson's show, Beginning and End. It had an overwhelming positive response from all of you out there, so everybody loved it. It's great. That's a new show that's coming up. We're going to be hosting Jim Wilhelmsen's video soon, because I think he had his whole channel deleted. It was either that or he had some videos deleted. But the censorship is real. I mean, it's attacking us. And Daily Renegade is bound and determined to fight against it by providing a place for all of your favorites to host their material. So not only if you become, but you have to become a member to get the full content, because again, YouTube deletes things. So if you want full Peck reports, if you want full videos from Gary Wayne and Ryan Peterson and Jim Wilhelmsen, Carl Tykrib is going to be providing some stuff. Mike and Jeannie from Hear the Watchmen, we're going to be doing some clips of their conferences from the past years, and we're working out a deal with them, and we're constantly working to get you more content, and we're being selective about it because we want to bring you the best of the best. This is not a platform where just anybody can upload. This is a platform where we are giving, it's like Netflix, the Netflix of fringe Christianity. It is the best of the best in content that's available today. Seth MacFarlane has a Pioneering show on there. We have Through the Black Uncensored. It's stuff that the guys at Through the Black can't talk about on their own podcast because they keep getting censored. So it's you're not going to be disappointed. We're also working on getting some apps for the phone and TV. And right now there's a lot of features for members only where it's kind of like a mini social media site. You can do your own posts. You can upload a profile picture. Pretty soon we're going to have our web developer. He's still working through some of the glitches, but we're going to have our web developer, Tim, come on the show and explain to us all the features because I don't even know all of them yet, but he's doing some really cool stuff. So you'll want to check that out. Become a member today because, look, when this thing goes full force, I can't promise that the price is going to stay as low as it is. Right now, it is $10 a month or $100 a year. Listen, you want to get that $100 a year because you get 2 months for free. Think about it. $10 a month, that's $120 a year. $100 a month, you get 2 months for free. And not only that, not only do you get the 2 months for free, but you only have to pay for it once and you don't have to think about it for a whole other year. How amazing is that? You're not going to find a deal like this anywhere else. And like I said, I can't promise that the price is not going to go up for new members. For existing members, your price is going to stay the same forever as long as we can possibly help it. Now, I can't say that in 20 years it's not going to go up 40 cents or something. You know, we got to adjust for inflation. But as much as I can help it, existing members' price is not going to go up. So get a membership now while you can, while it's still very, very, very affordable. $10 a month or $100 a year. Ditch Netflix. Ditch the flicks. Come on over to DailyRenegade.com and actually get some spiritual stake in you not even milk. You know, you're not even getting milk from Netflix. They're giving you empty calories. So come on over and join with us. For members, hold on the line. We're going to continue talking about Babylon. For everybody who's viewing for free, thank you so much. Please subscribe. Click the bell for notifications. Please consider becoming a member. And until next time, take care and God bless. All right, members, thank you so much for your membership. Let's jump right into it because I know we talked a lot about CBD, Kratom. We talked about a lot of different things. Now, the BBC, surprisingly, has just reported on this. The headline is Ancient City of Babylon Designated UNESCO World Heritage Site. So the ancient Mesopotamian city of Babylon has been declared a UNESCO World Heritage Site. This could be a pretty big first step in rebuilding the city and or at least even parts of it, where this could be a central hub in the Middle East. This could be Mystery Babylon. Maybe it's Mystery Babylon because the city was destroyed and it was going to be revived again. You know, maybe that has some correlation with the whatever prophecies. We've done videos on that, but maybe there's some correlation here. So Iraq has been lobbying since 1983 for this 4,000-year-old site to be added to the United Nations prestigious list. The city was famous for its Hanging Gardens, which was among the seven wonders of the ancient world. The site has suffered in recent years, first from the construction of a palace for Saddam Hussein, and later from being used as a base for U.S. troops. This is from the BBC, so there's going to be some bias here, but this is just what they're reporting. The UN World Heritage Committee met in Azerbaijan to decide on the latest sites to be given the honor, awarded to areas or landmarks considered important for the whole of humanity and protected by international treaties. Again, this type of thing could very well lead to something big. So it says the Iraqi delegation welcomed the designation, seeing it as a recognition of the significance of Babylon and Mesopotamian civilization. There's a couple pictures here that we can look at while we continue on in the article. But so here's a replica of the Ishtar Gate here. And if you follow any of my work, then you know these Lamassu and Shadu things, what they represent. But it says, announcing its decision, UNESCO said seat of successive empires under rulers such as Hammurabi and Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon represents the expression of the creativity of the Neo-Babylonian Empire at its height. So here it says Iraqis celebrated Babylon's new status. So you see that here. When was the last time, you know, Iraqi celebrated anything? You know, this is a pretty big deal. says, here's a quote, the city's association with one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, the Hanging Gardens, has also inspired artistic, popular, and religious culture on a global scale. It also warns that the site is in extremely vulnerable condition and in need of urgent conservation. So here are the World Heritage Sites right now. It provides a list. So we have Babylon, Iraq, ancient Ferris metallurgy sites of Burkina Faso, Parody and Ilha Grande, Brazil. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that. National Park, Iceland, French Austral lands in seas, France. Natural and cultural heritage of the Ohrid region, Albania, an extension from the North Macedonian side of the lake, which has been on the World Heritage List since 1979. So Lisa Ackerman, interim CEO of the New York-based World Monuments Fund, told the BBC the charity has been working with the Iraqi government for 12 years on Babylon's pitch. She said it was not unusual for it to take decades of lobbying for a site to be designated a World Heritage Site. Now, in the 80s, former Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein raised a large part of the ancient city, raised with a Z, in order to build a replica on top of some of the original ruins. After the Gulf War, he also built an extravagant modern palace for himself on another part of the ruins overlooking the main site. Then in 2005, the British Museum warned that U.S.-led coalition forces were causing severe damage to the ancient city. John Curtis, who was keeper of the Middle East Department at the museum at the time, warned in a report that sandbags had been filled with precious archaeological fragments and 2,600-year-old paving stones had been crushed by tanks. So he also found evidence of fuel tanks and 12 trenches that had been dug through archaeological deposits. It was, quote, tantamount to establishing a military camp around Stonehenge, end quote, he said in the time. 4 years later, UNESCO said that the use of Babylon as a military base was a grave encroachment on this internationally known archaeological site. Okay, so it sounds like on the surface, you would think, well, they're just trying to preserve an archaeological site. There's not going to be any rebuilding here. That's what they're trying to prevent. That's what they're trying to get away from. Okay, but what could that do with the surrounding area? For one thing, I don't know all the tendrils and the full scope of what this could mean in the future, because we can't predict the future. But let's say that the military just isn't allowed in that area anymore. Well, what is allowed then? Restoration? You know, there's been plenty of ancient sites where they're protected and they can go in and restore the ancient sites, you know, maybe not rebuild, but restore it. It depends. What if this is held as an archaeological or as a protected site meant to, stay how it is, as a relic of an ancient time? You know, think of the Sphinx or the pyramids or something like that. And then it attracts a whole bunch of tourism. So if you get tourism to view this ancient city, well, now you're getting a bunch of money flooding in that area. Now, with that money, they can rebuild. Maybe not in the same exact area, but maybe they build around it. Because if that becomes like a big tourist attraction or a site where people can go see the ancient city of Babylon, they're going to need to stay in hotels. They're going to need things, right? So then you can start building things around in the area. Now, what if that just gets so big that does become the new Babylon? It becomes a central hub in the Middle East. Because if you think about the area, there's a lot of places to see around that area. There's a lot of places that if you're already there, you could base yourself. It's kind of like Israel right now. You know, people go to Israel not to only see the Mount of Olives or not to only see Jerusalem. There's a lot of times that people will do tours in the surrounding areas. So that could happen here. And if you get enough tourism, you get even more revenue flooding into that area that could be used to, in a sense, rebuild Babylon. Again, it's a little different than a lot of us may have thought, but it could. Not saying it will. And I'm not even saying that rebuilding is necessarily a bad thing, but because we know the prophecy, Because we know that there is this enigmatic mystery Babylon thing, we know that if the correct interpretation is that Babylon is going, the ancient Babylon is going to be rebuilt in some manner, if that is correct, and I'm not even saying that, but if that is correct, then we know that this central hub is going to be used for some pretty evil things in the future. Now, there are other interpretations of that. You know, some say that Jerusalem is Mystery Babylon. Some say it's America. There's a lot of candidates. But the only thing we can do right now is look at the candidates in light of current events, in light of recent history, ancient history, current events as they develop, and then try to use current events to narrow our search. Because eventually it's going to get so narrow that it'll be obvious to those who are looking. It'll be obvious which candidate is correct. So we'll just have to wait and see, hey, if the pre-trib rapture view is right, we might all be out of here by then anyway. So, you know, we'll see, but it's important to keep our eyes on, and we will continue to do that here. So, I would like to know what you think as always. Please leave me a comment, and until next time, I guess that's it. Thank you again so much for your membership. What do you think Mystery Babylon is? Where do you think it is? Leave me a comment in the comment section. And thank you so much for your membership, for your fellowship, for your support, encouragement, and just for being part of the family. Love you all. Till next time, take care and God bless.